Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let's stand and read it together. Hebrews 12 and 1. He talks about witnesses. He talks about preparation and patience. But he emphasizes the race. Let's read it together. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Praise God. Now, obviously, the writer is likening our Christian life to a race. There's a course, there's time, there's rules and regulations, all of those aspects of a race, and then of course there's crossing the finish line. Praise God. And that's what we are determined to do, and I believe the Lord is delighted in helping us in that regard. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. You think about all the different kinds of races. Now, I never ran in high school. We had races at work. You know, a couple of us raced a couple of other workers, and you know that sort of thing. But as far as the dashes, you know, from 50 yards to 200 yards. You know, and it was interesting to see someone who could catch up, or not catch up, but turn on speed in a 200-yard dash rather than a 100-yard dash. He wouldn't do as well in the 100-yard, but the 200, he'd be leaving the other runners behind. That was kind of an interesting thing. Cross country, is that 2.5 miles, something like that, at least high school? 5K. Is it 5K? Okay. And steeplechase, you know, that's not just horses. That's runners also. You've probably seen pictures of them taking a header into the pond, climbing over those barriers, that sort of thing. The marathon, 26 miles plus. Wow, that is a rough one. And then hurdles, I was thinking about what kind of race more likely applies to our running the race that Hebrews is talking about. And I thought maybe it's the hurdles. Maybe it's, you know, jumping over that obstacle and running as fast as you can. And getting there quickly. Jeff ran his senior year, ran track, and he was part of the 400 relay team. And every race, their times improved, and they qualified to go to state. So they went to state and ran. They didn't make it to the podium, but they didn't finish last. I'm not sure what their time was, probably not quite what they had hoped, as far as being able to improve. But at college, Jeff went by the bulletin board where the times were posted for track, and he looked at the 400, and the times were what he had run. And he thought, wow, I could probably run with these guys. And then he looked again and saw it was 400 hurdles. They were running the hurdles as fast as he ran the 400 without. There's different levels of athletics, different ways that go, but overcoming obstacles and not being afraid to tackle the next one. In fact, that's part of the race. You can't skip them. You got to go over them. Stride, timing, speed, stamina, all of those aspects important to the race and obviously to the hurdles. But probably it's the marathon that would be more like what we're trying to do if we were comparing it to a race. And so the writer to the Hebrews said, you've got to run with patience, with patience. Any of you know what the some run is? The S-O-M-E, some run. It was a fundraiser that the state troopers did for Special Olympics, and that's what S-O-M-E is, Special Olympics Mileage Event. And a group of troopers ran from Fairbanks to Anchorage, and that was some run. And they took turns running those distances. I'm not sure how long each leg that a trooper had to run, but Brother Gary from our church in Ketchikan was selected to run, or I guess he volunteered, I'm not sure, to run in that some run. And he said, when you're running along and there's a support car, driving along with you, so you're not out there facing the moose and the bears and all of that stuff by yourself. And he's running along, and there was a car ahead of them, and he could see the taillights as it went up, winding up the mountain. And the driver got on the PA, or whatever that's called, and said, Gary, did you see that? And as though to emphasize, that's where you got to run. That's where you got to go up. And patience. Patience was very much a part of it. Let's look at some of the verses that have to do with patience and just emphasize here how important that is to tackle this race that we're on. James wrote about patience in a couple of places. James 5:11. And he gives some advice and looks back at a man that is known for patience. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Not pitiful in the sense that he's not giving much help or he's not paying much attention, but pitiful in the sense that he's full of pity, and he extends that pity to those who are in need of patience. Luke 21:19, very short verse, but Luke 21:19 gives a real key here as far as patience is concerned. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Now, that's a pretty strong statement for patience. We would think, oh, I'm going to be strong, and that's how I'm going to, win the battle. That's how I'm going to be able to make it. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be, we name lots of different things, perhaps. But the Lord says here, patience. And when you stop and consider it beyond just a fleeting thought, you recognize, a lot of truth to that, a lot of weight to that principle. I've got to make sure patience is going to keep me going. Amen. Back to James again. James 1:4. He talks about a perfect work. Patience. Have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience can do that. Patience keeps our soul. Patience makes us perfect. Wow. That's quite a bit of accomplishment for what we sometimes overlook and what we sometimes don't possess. Easy to get impatient. Very easy. Romans 5 and 3. Paul's list here. And how patience comes about. Romans 5, 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. There's a progression that includes patience that we've got to be sure we're on track. And and the track, of course, is the race, but we've got to make sure we're following through in this progression of all the things that the Lord desires to work in our lives. And thank God, he does make it work, and it does work. Praise God. Okay, one more. Hebrews 10:36. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. You have need of patience. Now, that's an understatement. You definitely do. But he goes on, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Patience holds on to the promise and doesn't let go. Praise God. And so you see an element of faith, you see an element of hope, you see tenacity and steadfastness, a whole bunch of things that agree to the aspect of patience. And it is a fruit of the Spirit. The King James says long-suffering, but you look it up in the Greek, and patience is one of the translations or one of the definitions of long-suffering. And, of course, the modern translations don't say long-suffering. They say patience. And the fruit of the Spirit will definitely be in evidence with patience, as well as all the other eight aspects of that fruit. Lay aside every weight. Now, the weight room training is very much a part of being able to run. The NFL tryouts, call it combines, are underway now. And one of them is, one of the events is how fast those athletes can run 40 yards. Now, 40 yards, you know, we may think, what? What kind of dash is that? Well, just remember, the football field is 100 yards long, and 40 yards is not quite half of it. But if the receiver or the defender or the running back, whoever it is, can run those 40 yards fast, well, then a play has more chance of success. And it is amazing how fast they can run those 40 yards. Incredible to think they could, I think 4.7, maybe less now. 4.2? One second for every 10 yards. 10 yards is 30 feet. That would be 15 of my steps. Can't do that in 1 second. Wow, that is incredible. But the weight room is where they build their stamina and their the strength and the muscles and so on. And wow, that they're going to definitely want to excel in that area. But they don't take what they've been working with in the weight room out onto the track. They don't pick up a barbell or a dumbbell, whatever they're called. They don't pick them up and start running down the track. They lay aside the weights and then move on. And that's what we've got to do. Practice handing off the baton is real important in a relay team. And a good release and a good grasp by the next runner without dropping it. It doesn't weigh much, but don't drop it, because seconds are lost in that exchange. And then they only have a certain distance to do that in, or they'll be disqualified. The handoff has got to be done in a certain length of the track. But they're running without weight, and that says something to us as well. And that easily besetting sin is probably the one that we've got to be aware of. Now, the Lord said, beware of cares of this life, riches, and so on. Those can be weights. Just, we've got to provide for our families. We've got to give to the kingdom of God. So obviously, we've got to earn something to give. There's all of those aspects, but it's not the priority. It's got to be the Lord and His blessing. But the besetting sin, easily besetting sin, is what we've got to avoid. Now, runners train with a strict diet and a run and rest protocol that they follow rigidly. Remember Michael Phelps, a swimmer that won more medals than any American athlete at his time? I looked at his schedule one time in a, I can't remember what I was reading, but it was amazing. The time, the minutes of his day were regulated strictly. Time in the pool, time in the weight room, time of getting meals, everything was regulated. It wasn't, let's go get a snack. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was very strict. That's what athletes do. They stay away from foods and habits that are not going to help them. Just not, that's just part of it. Sweets and sodas don't get their physique ready to go. So they forego those things. The NLT renders easily besetting sin a little bit clearer, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. A runner doesn't want to be tripped up. And that's what the easily besetting sin will do. The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3 and 13, the deceitfulness of sin. It doesn't look so bad. Oh, it's not going to matter. Oh, everybody's doing it. You know, you used to hear that phrase, and they don't even bother justifying it anymore. They just charge straight ahead into what they know is wrong. James gave a warning about deceiving yourselves. Twice he does in chapter 1. Being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word is the challenge that he set forth, or just the principle. Just don't be a forgetful hearer, be a doer of the word. If you don't, you're deceiving yourselves. And he says it twice. So the importance there of recognizing, okay, I'm running a race, I got to do it without weight, I've got to make sure there's nothing that's going to trip me up, I've got to follow through exactly in the way that God would have me to. And Paul recognized a lot of the responsibility was on him. The Lord, of course, speaks, the Lord warns, the Lord directs, the Lord guides. But here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. This concept of the race is what he was dealing with here in this portion of Scripture. He said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He knew, running this race, I've got to make sure I'm disciplined. And he would subject his body to that discipline. He didn't want to be a castaway, just has been, and something that didn't quite measure up, didn't make it. After he had called others to follow the Lord, and then he himself fails? No, he said, I therefore so run. And he encouraged other believers, so run that you may obtain. Praise God. Now, he talked about, all runners run, but only one receives the prize. And we're not looking at that. We're looking at all of us crossing the finish line and getting into the realm where the blessing of the Lord is going to be there. And so Paul would say it, therefore, I so run, not as uncertainly or without a goal. He said, I know what I'm heading for. I know where I'm going. Now, let's talk about the witnesses. Who are the witnesses? A great cloud of witnesses. Well, Hebrews 17, or 11 rather, Hebrews 11 talks about 17 different characters. And they all won victories in the Lord through faith. Now, some of them, you would wonder, what would they witness? Rahab is one of them. On the wall of Jericho with a red rope hanging down. Jephthah is another one. And the vow that he made. You think, But there are some who I think would give some pretty encouraging advice for running the race. Abel is mentioned first. What would Abel say? He would say, my parents taught me about worship. My parents showed me how to give a proper sacrifice. And I knew there were easier ways, but I was not seeking an easier way. I was doing what I was taught to do. And there was no other model to follow other than what my parents said, so that's what I did. And I stayed with it. Enoch would say, let me tell you about my walk with God. It wasn't a race, it was a walk. I walked with God. I did my best to please Him. There were distractions, there were options, there were other voices, but I kept walking. I stayed true to my Lord, and I consistently made every effort to please Him. And then we know how it ends with Enoch. He was not, for God took him. Praise God. Translated that he should not see death. That's going to be an interesting conversation when we get over to the other side. Enoch, what happened? How did it happen? Noah, what would Noah say? Noah would say, the world was very wicked, but I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad grace is God's quality, God's characteristic. It's not just a New Testament aspect. It's there with Noah. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord extended that grace to Noah. He said, God told me of things that were coming that had never happened before. Rain and a flood. We'd never had anything like that happen. But He called me. He commissioned me. I was told to build an ark, and He gave me the instructions. He gave me the dimensions. He gave me everything that I needed to do. And I didn't race around. I walked around. We called it a shipyard. And I walked most of the way in those places. We walked into the forest to get trees, to get pitch, and it was a messy job at times. But we did it over and over and over. Over 100 years, I worked to complete that ark. The imagination of man was only wicked continually. But my imagination was, how is this ark going to turn out? What's it going to look like? And my imagination wondered, how's God going to make the animals get on this thing? How are we going to catch them? What's going to happen anyway? But he said, that's what my imagination ran with. And then, when my family and I walked up that ramp and God shut the door, I was so glad. I was faithful to the command. Praise God. That's what Noah would witness. Abraham, what do you got to say? What's your witness? Abraham would say, I was called out. I was called out to go. And I didn't know where, so I kept going. I just kept on. And if you obey the Lord, He'll give His favor to you, and you will see miracles. Keep going. Praise God. His promise to me seemed impossible, an error. I tried to figure it out. I tried to go another direction. Got fouled up. Make sure you're following what the Lord says. And sure enough, He produced. It seemed impossible, but I kept believing. I kept going. And God did the work. I learned so much about God, Jehovah Jireh, and all the other aspects about the Lord. I learned about myself. You got to keep going. Be assured, God hears prayer. God answers prayer. Praise God, and He won't forsake you. I wonder about witnesses from our day. What would Brother and Sister French say? What kind of witness would they give? Stay with the truth. Keep praying. Be faithful. Hold on. Praise God. What would Brother Carnley say? Well, early in the morning he would say, "Oh, what a beautiful morning!" And wake everybody up at the campground. But then he'd get up in the evening service. "I got my foot on the rock and my mind made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easier way, I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up." Praise God. Amen. Praise God. What would Elder Blackshear say? I've heard him say it many times, not to me, but to his children, grandchildren. "Remember your last name and remember what church you go to." And I think that's good advice for children. It's good advice for teenagers. Good advice for adults. Praise God. Amen. So the witnesses. We can go on. Lots of witnesses that we can talk about. I thought about Brother Tenney. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I don't know if he's the first one to say that, but he wrote a book about it, so it was good. Let me talk about runners. Runners. In the battle with Absalom, when he was usurping the throne from his father David, the conflict was strong. The battle was going on. And David waited for news for what was happening. On the battlefield, Absalom was killed by Joab. And Joab said, "I need some runners. Cushai, you take the news to David." And Asahel said, Ahimaaz, Asahel will come up next. Ahimaaz said, I can run, let me run. Because he could run fast. And he wanted to take the message too. Cushai had taken off running. Ahimaaz said, "I want to run." Joab said, "Go ahead." And he passed Cushai up. That's how fast he could run. When he got to David, David asked him, "What news? What happened? What's the situation with Absalom?" He said, "I don't know." He was a runner without a message. We can't afford to do that. No, we've got to have a message and we've got to run. Amen. Cushai made it there eventually. David asked about Absalom. Cushai didn't answer directly. He said, "May all the enemies of David be as that young man." And David realized what had happened. Now, David is called a man after God's own heart. Here's why I think he is called that. He began to cry. He began to weep. He began to call out, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. Would to God that I had died in your place." That's why I think he's called a man after God's own heart. Because that's what the Lord came to do. That's the message we've got to run with. He died for you. And his blood and his name and his spirit and his word can make a powerful difference in your life. Because it has mine. Praise God. Make sure you're running with a message. Run. Yeah, definitely run. Without weight, without sin, with a message. Praise God. And know the power and the blessing of the Lord. Asahel, now, comes up next. And he's a runner. He could run like a deer. Abner had been loyal to King Saul, Ishbosheth, and so on. And Joab was fighting for David. And Abner fled the battle. They were losing. And he began to run. Asahel saw him running and took off after him. He wanted to defeat Abner. Abner could stay ahead of him, and Asahel would gain, and finally Abner turned around and recognized who it was. It's Joab's brother. And he said, "Asahel, turn around. Quit chasing me. Quit following me. Go after somebody else. Get a victory from somebody else." But Asahel would not. Abner turned around and killed him with his spear. Make sure you're following what's going to please God, not what's going to kill you. We can get mixed up in on which track we're following. The devil and his deceit can turn and misdirect and misguide. We don't want spiritual death. We want spiritual life. I'm thankful that David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." It's running after. It's pursuing. Praise God. And I'm thankful the Lord continues to bless by his power and his might. Now, Aesop's fables. Good old Aesop. The tortoise and the hare. The race was on. The hare took off. You've seen the rabbits run around here. They can really get with it. We don't have any tortoises, but we can imagine how slow they are. Sure enough, the hare was way out in front. And just to show off and to show up the tortoise, he said, "I'm so far ahead, I can stop here and take a nap." And so he did. But the tortoise kept going, kept plodding, slow and steady, continued on, and you know the rest of the story. He passed the hare taking his nap, and approaching the finish line. The hare awoke and saw he was about to lose. He ran as fast as he could. He put on all the speed he could. But the tortoise crossed the line ahead of him. And the story I read said, the race is not to the swift. And I thought, that's not Aesop, that's scripture. Ecclesiastes 9:11. Ecclesiastes 9:11, Solomon. You know, sometimes I get discouraged reading Ecclesiastes because Solomon is so vanity, vanity, everything's vanity. He's so discouraged or something. You know, he feels like all of his effort, all of his work is not worth anything. But he said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So he's looking at several different categories of people and recognizing there could be benefits that come. There could be advantages and all of these things. But he does say something truthful. Time and chance happeneth to them all. The Lord continues to give us opportunity. Amen. But I thought, yeah, the race is not to the swift. It's to the one who's going to keep on going. Amen. Don't let the devil detour you or delay you in your race. Praise God. Keep going. And finish. Finish. Praise God. I'm reminded of, Olympics is coming up this summer. I'm reminded of the marathon runner from Mexico. I think the winner crossed the finish line an hour before he even got to the stadium. But what had happened was he had taken a fall, and his knee was bleeding, and he was kind of limping. And he's coming to the stadium just about empty. There's only a few people there, and of course they started to cheer. That's what they do when you come in the stadium and take that last lap, and you're finishing your more than 26-mile run. And so they cheered for him, and somebody asked him, why, you're hurt, you're bleeding, and you're the last one. Why did you keep running? And he answered, my country sent me to finish the race. Maybe not win it, but I've got to finish it. And that's what we got to do. We got to finish. Praise God. Paul held on to his purpose. He held on to patience. In fact, 2 Corinthians 6, this is the second time now. Chapter 4, he lists a bunch of hardships. Chapter 6, he lists a bunch of hardships. Chapter 11, he does. But in chapter 6, he said, much patience. Much patience was required. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. In order to face the list of hardship that he endured, much patience. And you can imagine, we get impatient at the airport or wherever we're waiting for our transport, wherever it might be. You can imagine Paul waiting for a ship to take him to wherever he was going and what kind of accommodations he had. What the food was like, what the sleeping arrangement was. I imagine he did have to have a lot of patience. And then when he got to some of those cities, and they weren't real receptive to the gospel message. In Ephesus, they cried out, great is the Diana of the Ephesians. They hollered themselves hoarse, shouting for 2 hours because Paul was preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. Patience. Look at Acts 20 and 24. Acts 20 is when the prophecy went forth. You go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. The owner of this garment, the prophet Agabus said, you're going to be tied up. You're going to be bound. And Here's what Paul said in Acts 20 and 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. With joy? Paul, you're getting beat up. You're getting shipwrecked. You're getting stoned. You've got perils. You know, and then you can go on and list all those things. No, I'm going to finish with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. No wonder he could finish with joy. He knew how powerful it was. He'd experienced it himself. He'd seen it make a difference in the lives of others. He'd seen whole cities come to hear him preach. Talk about revival. Well, sometimes it was a riot, but they still heard it. And so with joy, I'm going to finish. Praise God. So, 2 Timothy 4 and 7, we know the statement well. He said, my time of departure is at hand. And then he made the claim, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That race was run with a fight by faith. And he didn't let up. He didn't hold off. He didn't look for an easier way. No, he was looking for a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, he said, but unto all them that love his appearing. And I thought about that. Love his appearing. And obviously, my mind jumps ahead to the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We are going to arise. It goes to that event, and it does. But how about if I love his appearing when I'm witnessing to somebody? I love his appearing when I'm teaching a Bible study. I love his appearing when I'm in a prayer meeting. I love his appearing when I come to the house of the Lord. Praise God. You see, we expect that. We look for it. We want that. Amen. And the blessings of God are going to continue to come to us. And obviously, we love his appearing because we want that crown of righteousness too. Amen. We're going to finish our course, finish it with joy, and we're going to keep on going until we do. Praise God. Because the Lord keeps his promises. And he's looking for us to do so as well. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Does the Lord have enough crowns available? Yeah. All them. Unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul's not just writing to Timothy in this aspect. That's the young pastor that he's trying to mentor. But he's writing to everybody who reads it. Praise God. And that includes us. Thank the Lord. Our imagination can go with what's that crown going to look like? What's it going to feel like? Who else is going to have one? Praise God. But I want to make sure I make it. I'm going to finish. Amen. The race is long. It's hard sometimes. And joy diminishes because the hardship increases. But the Lord's faithful and he brings us back up. Praise God. Into his power, into his blessing, into his strength. And I'm going to keep going. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's come forward and pray here for a few minutes.